Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Josh Brown, it might be Friday the 24th of March, but it's Monday, the wind-up of something.
Very good.
Thank you. When I come to you talking about Resident Evil, it's hot off a weekend of Resident Evil. A lot of people picking up the Resident Evil 4 remake, which I haven't played yet. Neither of you.
I haven't, but I'm as soon as this podcast is done, I'm going into town to buy it, and I'm going to play nothing, my friend, over the weekend but Resident Evil games, because I'm playing through Village as well, and it's going to be a good time. Fingers crossed.
It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time. But we thought we would do a ranking of our own personal subjective Resident Evil games so far. Then we'll go away, play Resident Evil. I'll go to Japan for 2.5 weeks. And we'll do more Resident Evil stuff on the other side of that. And whatever happens in between, it'll be lovely. If you want to do Resident Evil 4 conversations, you can.
Absolutely.
We'll see what comes together.
I think the beauty of this is we'll do our rankings now, pre-4 remake. And then we'll reconvene in a couple weeks, like you said, having played it, and see where 4 remake slots into
this
list.
If it shatters both of our top tens to become the new number one.
I mean, that would be difficult, but I would love it.
But doable.
Difficult,
like recording 4 podcasts in a row on the day before you go leave for Japan,
leaving the largest and most expansive until last, an entire franchise retrospective.
As you do. So yes, these are our top 10s each. I think there'll be a lot of crossover here, but we'll run down the top 10 Resident Evil games per person. My number 10 is Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6 made it into your top 10?
Hell yeah, it did.
As the defender of Resident Evil 6, it didn't even make mine. What?
I like the ambition of Resident Evil 6. I like how stupid it is. There's a part of me over the years that's embraced how ridiculous Resident Evil is overall. And when I go back to the likes of Resident Evil 4 and 5, I realize that it was always a complete campy mess. And I realize that it never had any real, that idea of, oh my God, how could they do this thing? It was always ridiculous. It was always stupid. It's part of why it's such a campy, fun franchise. And so as much as when RE6 came out, it was that thing where Leon's campaign is like the best one, and it still is.
Yeah.
And I've still not played through Jake Wesker's campaign.
Man, it's the second best in that game.
So I've been told.
If you played the Jake Wesker stuff, it might be top 5.
Maybe it would be. Maybe I'll come back to you in another couple of weeks and rename it and reorder it. But there's something about Resident Evil 6 when I went back to it on the remaster, where I quite enjoyed how stupid it was in the shadow of everything else that they were trying. I didn't play through Resident Evil 6 until after Resident Evil 7. And then kind of, it's like Devil May Cry. Once you realize that they put the franchise back on track, you can kind of enjoy the dumb crap that we thought we were stuck with that came beforehand, like with DMC in Devil May Cry's case. So I'll put Resident Evil 6 at number 10. It's not remotely a perfect game, but I think it's a very solid action shooter in that weird direction they took where they invent the title like action horror or something. They had a term they were giving the franchise back then where it was like, oh my God, you guys have got so far away from corridor crawling and item exploration or item unlocks and exploration. And they were like, don't worry guys, we're calling it a thing. That's what we do now. And I think when you go back to it now, it can be a fun, gory shooter. It's not a great Resident Evil game, which almost inoculates it from this entire list. Inoculates isn't the word, but I've still got it at number 10, but I had fun with it.
Hard agree, man.
Thank you.
You know I love Resident Evil 6 for its flaws and for its strengths.
Leon's little pistol flick thing he does.
Leon's pistol flick, the ability to click the right trigger and just quick fire some shots off like you're in a Mexican standoff is unreal. As an action game, I think the game has the ability to rule. Mm-hmm. Like the combat system in that, especially for the time, is silky smooth, very satisfying. It's just the case of it being a numbered title. especially at the time, dragged it down. Like you said, it's definitely the Devil May Cry situation of now we are, thank God, out of that dark timeline of maybe having that define the series' identity to come. You can appreciate it as a one-off. I think if it was a spin-off title, we would be able to talk about it without the risk of being guillotined by Resident Evil fans. But because it is numbered, it obviously has that weight and expectation, which is natural. It didn't make it in my top 10 list.
Okay.
Scott, I'm going to run through two, if I may.
Of course.
Quick honorable mentions, just very briefly, because Resident Evil Code Veronica X didn't make it on my list.
Okay.
And that is a game that is, you know, in a way, one of the best Resident Evils I've ever played. Mm. Half of it is incredible. The other half is some of the most worst programmed stuff I've ever experienced.
Programmed anything.
In my life. It's like they spent 3 years on the first half of the game and then did the back half in 15 minutes with the amount of repetition, with the amount of backtracking you have to do, with the amount of padding that's in the back half of that. And it's such a shame. It's the one I want to see most get the remake treatment because the potential is great, but it just unfortunately didn't come together enough for me to love it. The next one is Resident Evil Zero, a game that I haven't finished, but I wanted to give a shout out because I've started it so many times, and I think the opening on the train is so evocative and one of the best like horror settings and visualized horror environments in video game form that I've seen, like walking through that train carriage with the zombies on the seats threatening to come to life in the remake. It looks gorgeous. It makes me wish I could get over the clunky gameplay and power through, because that is, it's unreal. I dream about it, man. I just think it's like, it's painfully, it's perfect.
There was a Resident Evil 1 remake and Resident Evil 0 back on the GameCube. Obviously, they came to other consoles and stuff. But the first time I saw that, it looked real.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I mean, it's because of the pre-rendered backgrounds and stuff, which I guess they made 3D over the years and everything. But there was something about those games, and especially when it was the GameCube era, we're talking like 2003, 2004, that stuff just looked unbelievable. I've still never played Resident Evil 0 because it has such mixed reactions. But yeah, train horror. Shout out to Demon Slayer Mugen Train.
There you go.
It's a good time.
Means nothing to me, but I absolutely trust your view of that.
It's a whole anime on a train.
I'm going to recommend it as well.
Number 10.
My number 10 is Resident Evil 3 Remake. A game...
That's my number 9.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right, let's talk about this. Because that was a game which, at the time, disappointed me to no end. Coming off the heights of Resi 2 Remake, which was such a lovely breath of fresh air, was so confident, was so iconic in a lot of ways with what I did with Mr. X. I was expecting that same treatment for 3 Remake. Mm. And buying that full price for £50 at launch and realizing that it was going to be a 4 to 5 hour experience that actually cut stuff from the original game and made elements of the original game weaker, particularly Nemesis for my money, it disappointed me. I wrote it off. I didn't like it. I finally went and replayed it when I did all of the Resident Evil games 2 years ago in anticipation of Village and could finally appreciate it for what it was. It's not a perfect game. It's not a successor to Resi 2. In many ways, it's more like DLC, but for what it is, it's really solid. It's a solid action game. It has a lot of really good set pieces and the characters I really enjoy. So I've kind of come round to that game way more in the recent years, and I'm able to actually put it on this list. But
I think
very far down.
Franchise best version of Jill, I would say. Just by far, I love all the interactions with her and Nemesis. I love how much you just keep slagging it off and insulting it. And it's just, oh my God, get away from me. Oh my God, just stop coming back to life. I love the whole giant railgun bit towards the end. I had the most fun with that game when it was almost in the cutscenes, or when I was just getting to be channeling sort of Sarah Connor or doing that kind of, you know, having that sort of interaction with an enemy that just will not die. I think that's the best part about it. But like you said, it's always been glorified DLC. And I think they channeled that idea of Resident Evil 3, the original, you know, being turned around quite fast after Resi 2. I think they tried to channel that as like, we can go again. Resident Evil 2 has just come out, the remake. We'll just reuse some assets in the engine and just go again, to a detriment. Like, you know, they cut different parts at the clock tower or whatever. They cut parts that people associate with it. And the actual Nemesis, the iconic Nemesis, and we'll talk about Resident Evil 3 in a little bit, is barely in that game. It transforms way too fast. And it's like what you want from that game is being stalked around at a city environment where it could appear at any point, and it can appear in like 3 corners, and it's just really boring.
That's the issue. Resident Evil 3 Remake is a good game, but it had the potential to be one of the very best Resident Evils ever made for my money, because of how iconic Nemesis is and how much they could have done with him.
Yes.
On top of how much they could have done with Raccoon City. Why does Raccoon City feel so small and limited in that game. If I was remaking that title and I was Capcom, I'd have given them the time that the Resident Evil 4 team got, the Resident Evil 2 team got, to make a more, almost, I'd maybe even go semi-open world with Raccoon City and just make it more expansive, fully realize the dream of being in an urban environment that's coming into a state of apocalyptia, and just have that be the focus rather than railroading you through more linear segments and then moving to a sewer again.
Oh my God.
Moving to a hospital, which is kind of cool, but then moving to a lab again. It's like the potential there just, again, I've gone back into my disappointment mode because it could have been so much better, but fundamentally it is still a good game. It's just, you need to stop imagining what it could have been.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I ended up buying, like an idiot, the original Resident Evil 3 costume because I was like, I'd rather just dress as original Jill and have a weird original. I'm blanking on the dude's name with the big afro in the remake.
Is it Carlos?
Carlos, having original Carlos with a completely different hairstyle. So yeah, Resi 3 is fun enough, but it didn't blow anybody away. You should do your number 9 because that was my number 9.
My number 9?
Go on.
Is Resident Evil 5.
That's my number 8.
We need to stop doing this, Scott Delphin.
And we can't help ourselves. Resident Evil 5 is the one that I've just been going back through because everything's on sale on the Switch, at least in the UK. So I thought I'd buy, I need things for my 12-hour flight to Japan. So I bought Resident Evil 5 and the original again to go back through them. But yeah, you should talk about Resident Evil 5 because I think you like it more than me.
Resident Evil 5 is...
Even though it's higher on my list than you, apparently.
Yeah, weird that.
I'm kind of channeling my original thoughts as I went through it versus what I think about it now, but whatever.
Right. Resident Evil 5, for me, I've only completed it twice, but it's one of the games I've played the most. Mm. When I first played it, I did it all in one sitting with a friend. We did a co-op, went through
it. Yes, same.
And then ever since then, it kind of became a house party game.
Yep.
Where we would jump on the opening of it, co-op, after we'd had a house party on the morning when we were just looking for something to do. Oh, so okay. I know.
Oh, we did it like during the house party. Right. It was the go-to student game. Like, yeah.
Right. Well, the same principle applies. I've played the opening of Resi 5 so many times, and that's actually why I never got around to replaying it until the other year, because I just knew it off the back of my hand. But I really like it. I think from a presentation standpoint, it looks really good. Mm. I like the change in environments compared to the other games in the series, especially compared to 4. It is just 4, but worse. Mm. But I'm kind of I'm fine about that now, especially in hindsight. Again, like Resi 6, where it's not going to define the entire franchise. Mm. It's more arcadey, it's more action-focused, but I do think it's tight. I think the characters are interesting. I think the environments are cool. I think a lot of the enemies you fight are really interesting until you get to people with just guns. Mm. And it's not like, again, it's not really a great Resident Evil, but it's a good action game, especially if you're playing with friends.
That was my thing. It was back when it first came out, obviously everyone was high off the back of Resident Evil 4, and I feel like Capcom just went, let's just kind of just do that again. You have the whole the village invasion stuff at the start. You have the chainsaw enemy that takes forever to kill. That yep. dude's health is like 5 times more than Dr. Salvador was. And even the bit where, you know, you're facing down like a road and a truck comes all the way down. You got to shoot the driver. You got to do whatever. It's very, very similar stuff. And obviously there's more ridiculous stuff like the turret sequence on the ship. And it just everybody was chasing Gears of War back then, even Resident Evil. Well, they gave back into it. Resident Evil 4 predates Gears. But then it was just, for whatever reason, 5 and 6 were just like, let's just do action games over the shoulder.
I mean, 5 literally implemented a cover shooter yes. in response to it. So
Chris's campaign.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sorry, that's yeah. in 6, but like that's Chris's 6, campaign. Yeah. But yeah, for Resi 5, I think I actually quite like Sheva Alomar's AI. I think she's really helpful, and like she's good at like picking up different gold coins, things that you miss, and giving you ammo and keeping you your heal and keeping you topped up and stuff. I loved it the first time through. It was because of the reason you just said about going through a co-op, because it was one of the first things that me and one of my housemates went through together. So I have that memory of it where I loved it, and I wasn't paying that much attention to the we weren't skipping cutscenes, but I wasn't really caring about any pathos or yeah. horror or jump scares. It was more about just me and one of my best friends going through what was a really fun responsive action game. Again, the whole horror action label, it was one of the ones that did it well. And so I have that memory that knocks it up my list. When I think of Resident Evil 5, I think of that original playthrough. I'm going back through it now, and because I'm also going back through original Resident Evil 4, I notice how much they just did the same stuff again, and I know is how much worse it is, and I do prefer the feel of Resident Evil 4. So it's a little bit of a mix, but I do think overall I can still put it at number 8.
Hey, it's a flawed game. I want to make it clear that right now we're not talking about like amazing games. I don't think
no,
it's
no,
just
no.
that like these are on the list because they're the ones that I like the best out of the ones that I like the least.
Let's see if we can keep this going. What's your number eight?
Number eight, Scott Tilford. And now we're getting into the truly good, truly iconic stuff. I want to make it clear. These are the games that I would recommend to everyone as all-timers. Mm-hmm. And it might come as a shock. The original Resident Evil 2.
Ooh, beautiful shout.
It's more testament to just how good the rest of the games on this list are than this is so low. Mm. I love Resident Evil 2. I love the characters. I love the police station. I love the opening with the explosion and going through the fiery streets of Raccoon City. It is iconic. I love it. It's just that every other game that I have above it is just incrementally a little bit better, but this and my number seven were neck and neck for a long time.
Okay,
this one just lost out.
So, Resident Evil 2 PS1 for me is at number five.
Ooh.
But it's one of those weird recommendations where if you ask me what my favorite Resident Evils are, it's like when someone asks you what one of your favorite movies is, and maybe you haven't seen it in like 20 years. So you say, oh my God, it's that. I loved it. And then go, why? And I go, I don't remember anything. I just remember loving it. So with Resident Evil 2 PS1, I still wanted to have that quite high up. So it is at number five, but it's the one that I can remember the specifics of the least. I remember the opening bit in Raccoon City. I remember being terrified because that was my first proper Resident Evil. It was the first one that I borrowed from a friend. The first one I bought was Resident Evil 3. I'll get there.
Yeah.
But RE2, I think, cemented what people think of when they think of Resident Evil. If it's not the overly polygonal original, it's where they really double down on the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they really double down on the just the visuals, just that whole smoldering version of Raccoon City. And the way things go, the combat as well, like, not that they changed that much of it, but I found it was way more satisfying in 2. I just remember the feel of the shotgun and just blowing dudes apart with it was way better. I don't have much else for RE2, but I remember loving my time with it. I think it would all come back to me if I went back through it again.
I think it would as well. You know, this was similar to you. I'd seen Resident Evil 1, but I was too young to play it. My dad scarred me for life by playing that in front of me, but Resi 2 was the first one I actually could play
right.
And actually get past a zombie without just being instantly chomped.
Yeah.
And I was still way too young for it. I'm talking like 7 or 8. And I remember the first time I got chomped by a zombie and it showed the "you are dead" screen. And I never played it again. And
right.
I thought this is way too scary for me.
God, you
that's
just,
terrifying.
You just triggered a memory for me that I remember being in, it would have been in middle school or first school, age 5, 6 or something like that. And I was over at a friend's house and someone's big brother was playing through, I think it would have been Resident Evil 1. And they were like, oh my God, like shouting through the room, you've got to come see that. Oh, when you die, you get eaten by zombies.
Yeah.
And I barely knew what a zombie was.
Yeah.
And 2, I was like, okay, cool. Me playing, I don't know, Crash Bandicoot, Ape Escape. Just watching that death screen, watching them get mauled and being horrified by it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, oh my God, I haven't thought of that in a long time.
Not to spoil the future chatty faces, by the way, but Dan Durkin talks about this game, Resident Evil 2, scarring him for life, but also inspiring his love of the zombie genre.
Yeah.
Exact same for me.
Yeah.
Seeing all of that kind of like zombie iconography that I didn't even recognize as iconography at the time, like playing out in front of me in this, what was at the time, an incredibly realistic and hyper-detailed version of a relatively realistic city, blew my head clean off.
I am realizing that, I also have that sort of initial seed was planted way back then as well. So what does that bring us on to? Is that your number 7?
That was my number 8.
That was your number 8. So my number 7 is Resident Evil Village.
What?
Which I think will be a lot higher for you.
Absolutely.
I can't
vouch
for the second half of that game. I can't sanction its buffoonery. I didn't love the mech fight, nor did I like anything to do with Miranda or whatever the floating woman is that you fight at the end.
Miranda.
What's that?
I don't want that.
Terrible.
I understand.
I've got 3 shotguns. I can't kill her. Carry on.
You certainly do. Not the 3 shotguns era again. Not 3 shotguns. I'll concede. Resident Evil Village is not a perfect Resident Evil game or even the perfect game. Mm. But what I also argue and what I think I realized by doing my list, no Resident Evil game is perfect. And everyone kind of falls off in the back half in one way or another. And I agree that this kind of switch to action in particular when you get to Chris Redfield's section, even though it plays well, like story-wise, it doesn't hold up. But
I like that. For me, it's such a mixed bag. I was really looking forward to the Dimitrescu stuff. I thought they were going to really double down on all the AI systems that Mr. X had, and then she dies in the first like 20 minutes, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I didn't have anywhere near as much fun with the other heads of the village themselves. The reason that I still have it at number 7 is because I still think it plays incredibly well, and there are so many really good little systems in there in terms of maximizing Resident Evil 2 Remake's map system, so you know exactly what area to go to find something. And it, like I said, it just plays really, really well. So I rocketed through that game. I just was quite let down by the story, but I did love my time with most of it while I was playing it. It's just bits towards the end when you're in the factory and it's just like, what even is this? And it's like a mech fight and
yeah,
whatever. But there's a lot of stuff that I really liked in there. It's just, it's a weird one, but it's my number seven.
I'm going to save my glowing praise of that game for a little bit later on because it's quite high on my list.
That makes sense.
What's but I will concede that it does definitely have flaws.
Give me your number seven, please.
My number seven is Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
Ooh, that's my number four.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like I said, this was neck and neck with Resident Evil 2. Mm. Maybe this has a bit of a bias because I actually hadn't played the game to completion until really, really recently. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit fresher than Resident Evil 2, which I haven't revisited in a while and will finally be revisiting after I play through the 4 remake, by the way. That's why I got the PlayStation 1 back. But yeah, Nemesis edges it. Surprise, surprise, because of Nemesis.
Yes.
He's such an iconic character. The way he's implemented in that game rules. You're Jill Valentine again, which is awesome. We love Jill Valentine on this podcast. I know we love Claire and Leon as well, but I love my girl Jill.
All of them.
But yeah, it's ultimately just the use of Nemesis and the iconic ending itself that I think slightly makes me prefer it over 2, even though I can totally see why people would say 2 is the better game and maybe one of the best games in the series.
My thing with 3 Nemesis, like I said, it's my number 4, is just it was the first Resident Evil I took home. I played Resident Evil 1 and 2 at a friend's house, and then 3 was the one that I went to the store, and that was all they had, so I bought 3. And I didn't know what I was in for. Obviously, you have the box art of Nemesis, but like when you start playing, I'll always remember there's a scene, there's a screen, rather, with an overturned bus, and you're trying to get like round it, and a bunch of ravens come out the side of the screen, terrified me. I was way too young for it. It's like, I think it's a 15 or an 18 age rated game over here.
Yeah.
I was definitely about half that age. So yeah, Resident Evil 3 is always going to have that that memorability for me. But I also love the decision-making parts of that game. I know there's not much to them, but when you're a kid or an early teenager or whatever, that was just so effective of just being like, okay, all the colors invert, this huge hulking tyrant thing is literally about to grab you. Where do you want to go to escape? And when you're a kid, I think you flesh out, in your mind, you flesh out the possibilities way more because you're not that aware of the restrictions of video games. So it's like, well, I have a whole city to escape into, or I have all these different options that I can try. And so for me, there's so much love for especially the first sort of couple of hours of Resident Evil 3. Obviously, there's everything else. There's all the rocket launcher stuff. That's how ridiculous it gets later on, which is, again, what they were channeling in the remake. But I have a real love for knowing Nemesis is around every corner and your mind making you believe that. More so playing through it when I was a bit younger. I've not been through Resi 3 since 1997 or 8 or whenever the hell it came out. But I loved it. That was my first Resident Evil, and I absolutely loved it.
Nice, man. Bosh. That's really sick. I would fully echo what you said there about the choice system. Mm. When I was a kid, I loved choose your own adventure books. You know, when you could like flick to a certain page to follow a certain.
I had a Sonic one of them.
Thing. Did you really?
I had one called Assassin with an exclamation mark as well.
Nice,
brilliant.
Nice, but I love that stuff. And obviously, playing through Resi 3 Nemesis, like it made me think of those books.
Yeah.
And even if the choices are relatively basic, like you said, it certainly adds to the stress of having Nemesis, you know, bearing down on you. It's not just, do I want to run from him to the next screen? Do I want to put a few bullets in? It's like, do I want to push him off the edge? Do I want to jump off the edge? How do I want to escape? Just made those encounters feel a little bit more dynamic, considering the technical limitations of the time. Mm. And again, it makes me lament the fact that stuff like that wasn't built on in the actual remake of the game.
No. I think they could have done way more with it. What number are we on for you? Number 6.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Six?
Number six. We are. Let me get my list back up. My number six, and I think you'll have this way higher on your list, Scott Tilford.
Go on.
Resident Evil 2 Remake.
That's my number two.
Is it?
Yes.
And I'll tell you why it's relatively low on this list. It's a great game. It's a great remake. I love how they've managed to update that original title into the Resident Evil 4 style of gameplay without losing what made those original titles so good. And that was the exploration. It was the feeling of being in specific locations and the Metroidvania-esque exploration of it. It just... if I'm being truthful and why it doesn't get into the top five, it lacks a bit of bite for me. It's like one of the best ever high 8 out of 10 games for me personally. It does everything right. It's like a great 4-star movie. It does everything right just for my personal tastes. It lacks that extra bit of oomph that really sets it up to a kind of 5-star level. That said, I think its biggest innovation obviously is Mr. X. And while I'm not a huge fan of persistent enemies in some of the other games that we'll talk about, I think his implementation makes that game something special and makes it more dynamic and unpredictable. And then, of course, there's the gore system that you have as well,
the gore stuff,
which managed to make zombies scary again and managed to make fighting them again, more dynamic. You never knew if a headshot was going to take one down. You never knew, even if you put a zombie down, whether or not it'll get back up when you return to that area a few missions later or whatever. And its innovations are great, like I said. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm compelled to put it lower than the top five.
Oh, I adored RE2 Remake. I just thought that they just everything that you wanted from the idea of reapproaching all the some of the visuals, some of the locations, some of the things that you remember from RE2, and then fleshing it out with the how you remember RE4 playing, and then making it even better. The gore system was brilliant. I love just the visuals overall. I love the location. It had that right mix of like action and puzzles, and they had that weird, I forget if it was a retcon, but that whole thing of the police station was built on like an old puzzle master's room or something, which is why everything had these weird archaic keys and different lock systems and everything. I absolutely love my time with RE2 Remake. I just thought that it was, some of the Mr. X stuff got a little bit annoying when all you need to do is turn a crank and he won't just leave you alone for a bit. But overall, it was just the way that it played. And I think they dropped the ball a bit by not differentiating Leon and Claire's campaigns more, because it was just doing the same thing again. It didn't even make sense. Like they went through the same areas and acquired the same gear. But then there was that scene where they met outside, and I was like, but you guys wouldn't be there at that point. It was just a weird thing. And I kind of thought they dropped the ball a little bit with that, but it never took away from how immediate RE2 felt like a pristine Resident Evil. That might be the one that I could just give to someone now and be like, you should play through this. Having not played RE4 Remake yet. But I think all the different parts of it just came together for what I want from Resident Evil, the right mix of horror and action, the gore side of it, the puzzles. Yeah.
That's it. And that's the beauty of Resident Evil that we've talked about before. We did a whole podcast with Jules about Resident Evil's identity, and it's like, what do you want from the series? And I think that definitely informs your top five specifically, because Resident Evil has been so many things, and that's really fascinating.
So that was my number two. What did we get down to? My number six is Resident Evil 1 Remake. Yes.
Why? Go on. No, go on.
Are you not fun? Have you got number one?
I cannot speak. I cannot speak. I'm going to let you tell me.
Yet.
your reasoning.
I played through this, well, the vast majority of this, back when it did first come back out on the GameCube. One of my best friends back in the day got it with his GameCube for his birthday, and we used to just go across to each other's houses every weekend and just play through this. So I have that love of it to that degree. I barely played the original on PS1, which I get a lot of people just kind of have a nostalgia for that. And played bits and pieces of it, but at some point I didn't grow up with it, and I'm not going to go back to it, which I guess is how you feel towards something like a Final Fantasy VII original or something like that.
Yep.
Where it's like, I'd rather just play the remastered version. But yeah, I mean, like, Resident Evil 1, it always has the puzzle design. It's what made it iconic. It's archaic now, and the checkpoint system sucks. I've never been a fan of the ink ribbon stuff. I hate it back in the day. I wish they'd get rid of it now. I still would be super up for if they remade Resident Evil 1 again, like RE2, 3, and 4 remakes, over the shoulder and stuff like that. But I do love the overall setup. I love the whole introduction to the characters. I like how ridiculously cheesy Wesker is. And I like the whole one location horror thing of the Spencer Mansion and just sort of crisscrossing over that main hall and fleshing it out bit by bit.
Yeah.
And the variety of the enemies that you come across as well with the different bosses. So a lot of that stuff is baked into, I don't know, memories from 2004 or something. But I like it.
Hey, no spoilers, but I reckon it holds up today as
does
well.
Does it do it well?
It may do. Because I don't want to talk about that yet, because
we'll get back to that.
But my number five is very similar, because it's Resident Evil 1, the original version on the PlayStation 1.
That's not even in my top 10.
Well, there you go. Like you said, you didn't grow up with it, right?
No.
That's the one I did grow up with. Like, right. I said, I didn't play it first. My dad played it, but it imprinted itself into my brain to the point where I had a fascination with the Spencer Mansion for years, and I didn't get around to actually completing it until a few years ago when I got the PlayStation 1 Classic, and I went through it finally back to front after having dabbled now and again, and I thought it held up surprisingly well.
Cool.
I like the weirdness of that first game, where it's much less detailed, like the environments are much less detailed than Resident Evil 2.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of adds to the charm for me, where I really am kind of like, you know, projecting a lot of imagery onto these rather bland environments at times. And the idea of the Spencer Mansion itself, I love that. Although you do go down to the lab, sometimes you go outside, it's mostly just in that one location.
Yeah.
One location horror really speaks to me. If Resident Evil 2 was entirely set in the PlayStation, I'd have been fine with that.
I love old school polygonal PS1 horror. I think that thing you said before about you project your own sort of detail onto those landscapes, I get that people just don't have that if they didn't grow up with it necessarily, but I definitely do. And it makes things like the horror parts of Final Fantasy VII or Metal Gear, or especially Resident Evil, take on a whole other dimension of like memorability, because you're filling those spaces out yourself. I forget what number you're on to.
That was number five.
That was your number five.
Can I just quickly shout out I know we need to rocket through these, but I just need to shout out a few of the things.
Yes.
Boss battles in Resident Evil 1, great. Big snake, big plant, big tyrant at the end. The voice acting makes it iconic for me. Makes it interesting to play. Not interesting, use the wrong word. Exciting to play now, because I love all the line deliveries. You know, Jill, the master of unlocking, all of that stuff. Excellent.
Just a Jill sandwich.
Yeah, I love the original theme when you go down into the basement slash kitchen. And it sounds like, as Jules Gill described it, someone just farting through their mouth into a microphone. All of those rough edges is what makes that game stand out to me in comparison to Resident Evil 2 and 3, which are arguably better games, more polished games, but the quirkiness of 1, the charm of 1, I love.
Yeah, any dev's first attempt to bring things into 3D, like obviously they kind of had that Sweet Home game years before then.
Yeah.
But the idea of taking the sort of, like, the way the loading screens work in Sweet Home is like the whole thing that they carried over into Resident Evil. But I think any team just going for it and doing their best. And back in the 90s, the reality of what translating something was like. And like you said, the even video game voice acting was just not a thing.
Yeah.
And then just everyone doing their best. So that was, well, my number four was Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which we've talked about. What was your number four?
My number four was Resident Evil 7.
Shout, that's my number three.
Is it?
Yes.
Let's talk about that now.
Resident Evil 7 was the one that I as soon as I finished it, I was like, this would be a really good like Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was just a really tight, well sort of laid out story that I think goes in the right directions. Other than, it's just like, I don't know, Resident Evil meets like Texas Chainsaw or something like that. It was just the very end. It's only the very, very, very end. The Jack Baker fight that's just a bit naff. And I thought, to be fair, the molded are a bit naff as well. Just these weird oily creatures that kind of come at you, and they're not very memorable. In fact, they're entirely forgettable. You remember the members of the Baker family more. But I think that whole twist with the experiment, the BOW, whatever you call it, And the fact that the real them are all trapped and that kind of stuff. I think that was always really, really fun. And I had a lot of fun going through Resident Evil 7. I was quite skeptical of that jump to first person. I kind of viewed it quite cynically as like, oh, you guys are just going to do first person stuff because that's what Slender Man and Outlast and whatever, that's what they're all doing. But that game was so Moorish. Same as Resident Evil Village, just very, very easy to get through.
For me, Resident Evil 7 was exactly what I needed it to be. Mm. After 6, which I enjoyed, but could recognize as absolutely not the template this franchise should take.
Right.
Franchise should take for the future. Mm-hmm. Resi 7's pivot to me was music to my ears on every level. Everything you just mentioned there, I love the first-person perspective. I was a fan of that change. The family, incredible, instantly iconic. The setting, you know, way more run down, way more, you know, kind of like the American South, Texas Chainsaw, like you inspired there. The fact that you don't really have Resident Evil ties until the end when it's revealed what exactly the biohazard is. Just that kind of breath of fresh air that it provided was so fun and so fresh and so reinvigorating. The reason that it's below Village for me is because I have the exact same issue with 7 that you have with Village, where the second half of 7 drops off for me.
Right.
Once you get on that tanker and you're starting to shoot through molded on the ship, I don't think that's very well designed. I don't like that
section
of the game.
It's not great. I liked it as like a like we're sort of like we're releasing the clamps on you a little bit because you've got the shot, you've had the shotgun for a while at that point, you've had better weapons for a while, but just being like, not only can we do first person horror with puzzle elements and Resident Evil elements, but we can also kind of deliver on just being a bit of a first person shooter. We're channeling a little bit of Resident Evil 5 and 6. I almost viewed Resident Evil 7 as a microcosm of the trajectory of Resident Evil to that point all over again.
Right.
Starting with horror, building to more weapons, and then building to all out action. And so I enjoyed it as that. It was only the Jack Baker thing at the very end that I was like, you've got to pull back. You've got to actually do a fun boss, not just a big oily thing with a bunch of eyes all over it. So I didn't mind that, but I get why people like would have bounced off it.
Yeah, that was the only issue for me because it was so reserved until then, and the horror was so, not grounded, but it was grounded in one location. Mm. All of these games, I feel like I keep saying, could just take place in one location and keep going vertically or keep expanding it out rather than having to jump somewhere else. If they kept expanding, you know, the Baker Mansion and surrounding areas rather than jumping to this, in my opinion, really nondescript tanker, I would have enjoyed the end of that a little bit more. And ultimately, that's the only thing that lets it down, but it's still one of my favorite games. I've still played it to death on VR, especially. Wow, what an experience that was. That definitely elevated it for me. But yeah, the game rules.
I am lost on numbers, but that was your number four?
That was my number four.
So my number four was Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which we talked about. My number three was Resident Evil 7, which we just talked about. Your number three?
My number three was Resident Evil Village, which we have talked about, but I didn't say what I loved about
it. Yes, please tell me.
To me, takes everything I loved about Resident Evil 7 and fixes that problem about the back half for me, because whilst some parts are a little bit of a step down, I do love Heisenberg's factory. I do like the final boss, and it definitely pivots to more straightforward action in the same way that 7 did, but it makes more sense for 8 for me because the rest of that game is more action-based anyway. It's kind of like what The Force Awakens is to A New Hope, Resident Evil 8 is to Resident Evil 4. Mm. Like, it's taking the same template, it's just adding a new fresh spin on it with new characters, a new setting, et cetera, et cetera. I personally like the fantasy stylings of that game. I like the storybook opening. It's a bit weird. Mm. And it's that weirdness that elevates it over something like the 2 remake for me. Like I said, I want a Resident Evil game to kind of have teeth, to kind of have ambition, even if it's not able to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. And I think the ambition of 8 with its fairy tale setting, with its werewolves, with its giant vampire ladies, with its weird Heisenberg monster, with its spooky baby that comes after you, it has that kind of sense of creativity in that bite, in that kind of, we're going to just swing for this and we might not always hit it, but we will more often than not, that I love.
I honestly, my favorite thing about Village is just how much they were like, not only are we, you know, not only does Resident Evil not just have to be zombie stuff, it can be werewolves, it can be that, like, the horn, we can do Silent Hill better than Silent Hill with the House Beneviento stuff. And it's like fleshing out those things and just saying like, hey, we are the all-encompassing horror franchise and we'll still make it Resident Evil. It'll still feel like a Resident Evil game, but we're going to touch into all these other sort of magical elements. For me, Village's story was always what let it down. I wanted more from the build-up of you know, what's going on with why Chris is shooting whatever you call Maya, I think No.
Yeah. You know what it is, isn't
Ethan's
it?
Partner.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. I wanted a little bit more payoff in that regard, which I just thought the story just, it was the most forgotten part of that. Conceptually, I love it. Conceptually, enemy-wise, and like you said, the story, the setting and everything was great. But that's what always let it down a little bit for me. So yeah, my number three was Resident Evil 7. Your number three, I think you just said.
Yeah, Resident Evil Village.
So my number two will be Resident Evil 2 Remake, which I mentioned before. So your number two?
Resident Evil 4.
Yes, which original. Is my number one.
There we go. And you know what? This and my number one could be interchangeable, but Resident Evil 4, one of the best games ever made.
Yep.
One of the games that I've played the most to completion, buy it on every single platform. It holds up. Even the limitations of it, the quote-unquote limitations, like the inability to move while shooting.
Yes.
The fact that you can't, you kind of still have tank controls, even if it is over the shoulder. The team utilized those limitations and built around them to the point where they feel integral to the entire gameplay flow of it. This is a game that knows what you want. This is a game that has the Resident Evil chaos that I want, especially in the back half where it's scary, but it's also goofy and silly, and they're doing that thing in Resident Evil 8 Village where they're swinging for the fences, and it's like, why? How does this level in Hour 1 even belong in the same game as a level in Hour 15 of Resident Evil 4? It should not work, but it does.
There's something I love, that weird hybrid approach, like you said, of tank controls that are in third person, where you're still sort of like picking a point, planting your feet, defending yourself, whatever. But I love the level design. I love how quickly they roll out the different weapons that you get. I love that mind blower rocket launcher thing that you get. There's a thing where you can plant mines on people and it blows them up.
Yes, I thought you said mind blower rocket launcher. I was like, how have I missed that?
It does pop their old heads, but it's that thing. I love just how much they went out there with just, here's a merchant, he sells you stuff. He just gives you all the things that you want, and he's lovable because of it. All the crazy evil religious stuff with Sadler, just, it works. I think that stuff really works. And obviously it was a massive deal for the time because we'd never really had a really responsive over-shoulder shooting game back in 2004. Operation Winback, Killswitch, whatever. But I feel like it was that first time that Resident Evil elevated, where it was like, oh, this is way bigger than just what we thought it was. It's way bigger than pre-rendered backgrounds. It's doing something that Silent Hill is nowhere near. And it blew everything off. It blew everything wide open. I just thought it was, and still is. I mean, I'm literally going back through it right now, but I remember the vast majority of it anyway. And just in terms of being a stellar video game.
I think it's a testament to the game's quality that when it was announced that it was being remade, a lot of people, myself included, said, why?
Yeah, you don't need to.
You don't need to. You can do it, but it's almost the perfect game as is. Of course, there are things that are slightly blemished now with the perception of hindsight, but for a 20-year-old game, it's shocking how little doesn't stand up to this day.
What is your number one?
My number one, if you haven't guessed already, Scott Tilford, is the Resident Evil 1 remake.
That's a beautiful, poetic shout.
It's a matter of taste. You know, both of these games are some of the best games of all time, some of my favorite games of all time. And it's just the fact that I love, like I said, one location horror. I love the slower, methodical pace of the isometric view, tank-controlled style of the early games. And I love, ultimately, games that are about mastering a space. You know, whether that's something massive like Death Stranding or something like this, where you have a mansion, you have the surrounding areas, and it's about navigating something that is initially unknowable and then becoming the master of unlocking and getting from one place to another in the smartest, most efficient way possible, bypassing threats like zombies or dogs or whatever, and just going from a sense of powerlessness to a sense of power within the space of 8 hours and a couple of keys and a couple of weapons. I think everything that I loved about Resident Evil 1 that I mentioned, this game just does better. The implementation of Crimson Heads that make zombies even more dangerous, that makes backtracking even more dangerous. Just the sense of, you know, item management, time management, zombie management. It's a managing game, it really is. It's not an action game at all, but it's what I want from horror, and it makes me tense throughout.
Yeah, and we're big fans. I know that they changed it for the remake where you can just push any direction and run, but we've always been staunch defenders of the old tank controls, or definitely the perspective that they use, which is like an unsung art of horror. it in 2023 or in the modern day of forcing you to experience a level from a specific perspective, because then you can do more, you can do cooler things with the frame, you can do cooler things with jump scares or something diving in from the side of the frame or whatever. I'm always going to have a love of that. And I think because of the specific story, the setting and everything of Resi 1, it does make it timeless. And there's something really awesome about, as varied as all these games are, one of the best Resident Evils always being the remake of the original,
yeah,
the refined version of that, like, big leap they did way back in like 97 or 96, whatever it was. So yes, this has been our rundown of the best Resident Evil games. Completely subjectively, it might change entirely once we've played the Resident Evil 4 remake, but we'll see how it goes. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com. That's the video ending, Josh Brown. What are we doing? It's the WhatCulture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Scott Tilford.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.